Hi, with Truth News Radio Australia. Welcome to another show. My name's Hereward Fenton, and it is the 28th of February 2013 in Sydney, Australia, where I'm broadcasting from. And a warm welcome to everyone around the world in whatever space or dimension or interdimensional reality you happen to exist in. I hope you can enjoy the next couple of hours. I've got a really action-packed, information-packed show lined up for you today. The first hour of the show is going to be all about fluoride and the mounting wave of dissent against water fluoridation, which is taking hold in Australia. It is quite an amazing development, one which the powers that be, including our fourth estate, the media, is determined to crush, to obfuscate, and to bombard with propaganda to make this phenomenon look different to what it actually is. And of course, this is the technique we've seen that the media uses whenever citizens gather together and start to wake up and start to want to change the systems and the laws that are set up to injure them, to poison them, to destroy their quality of life. We've seen it with vaccines and the vaccine campaigns, and the campaigns against the anti-vaccine groups are relentless here in Australia and incredibly underhanded, with all kinds of techniques used to basically frighten and use legal tactics to shut down free speech. We've seen that with vaccines. Now, fluoridation has been in practice in Australia for many, many years, going back to the end of World War II, I think is where it began, but not in all states. Now, New South Wales has had it for many decades. Tasmania, I believe, has had it for a very long time. Tasmania, incidentally, has one of the worst tooth decay problems in Australia, and it's the state that has had fluoridation the longest. Isn't that an interesting little fact there? But Queensland, the northeast of the continent, very large state, goes from the northern New South Wales temperate zone all the way up through the tropical zone, right up to the tip of the Cape York Peninsula, a huge area of land, has not been fluoridated until quite recently. About 2 years ago, I believe, they began the first water fluoridation in Brisbane in Queensland. And there has been extensive opposition to it. And what actually happened was, with a number of changes of government that took place in Queensland, a decision was made which is probably the undoing of the economic cartels, the economic oligarchies and government cartels that are conspiring to poison us with this substance. Their undoing was when they gave the councils the freedom to choose whether or not to fluoridate. And I've got an article here which is from last year. Fluoride will not be forced on the region's outlying communities. And this is from Toowoomba, I believe, the Chronicle Toowoomba, which is a regional area in Queensland, not too far from the main hubs, though. Fluoride will not be forced on the region's outlying communities in a move that could prevent millions of dollars being wasted on water no one drinks. 2 years ago, Toowoomba Regional Council started adding fluoride to Toowoomba's water supply under a compulsory state government scheme. Council was in the process of planning how it would do the same to water supplies in a few other areas, and that was going to cost quite a few million dollars. In fact, it says here, this is just one, two, three, four, five, about six regional areas, and this was going to cost $3 million up front and millions of dollars during its lifetime in terms of ongoing operational costs. But the Premier, Campbell Newman, has scrapped the compulsory scheme, announcing communities could now decide for themselves whether they wanted their water fluoridated. And that's an article which is from the Toowoomba Chronicle from the 26th of June 2012. Well, since then, there has just been an unravelling of the whole fluoridation program. Council after council around Queensland has decided to reject it, and we've got a variety of stories popping up in the mainstream media. Here's one from the ABC from February 22nd. Fraser Coast latest council to reject fluoridation. Another Queensland council has opted out of water fluoridation despite a state health department recommendation that the program should continue. We had the Cairns council reject fluoridation last year. Actually, earlier this year, Cairns Council votes to dump fluoride. The Cairns Council will remove fluoride from its water supply, saying it amounts to the involuntary medication of residents. We have another story here from major Australian newspaper, the Brisbane Times. MP gnashes teeth over fluoride cuts. The six Queensland councils removing fluoride from drinking water are making a terrible mistake, according to the state's highest profile dentist, Education Minister John Paul Langbrook. Mr. Langbrook said councils were ignoring the dental health of children in their regions. These councils are making a poor, ill-judged decision, and that is having a long-term ramification for their children. Now, to date, the number of councillors has actually jumped to 9, and the ABC, Australian Broadcasting Corporation, did a news special on this last night because it is now becoming an avalanche. Guess what? Most people don't, once they understand the facts, once they know what's going on, they realize, yes, in fact, this is compulsory medication. You know what? Even if it's good, we don't think it should be compulsory. Even if fluoride is the greatest thing in the world, we don't think it should be forced into the water supply. You know, guess what? Vitamin C is great. I love vitamin C. You know, I think vitamin C is a really good thing. But guess what? I don't think vitamin C should be put into the water supply, even though that would probably be completely harmless, because I think people should be able to choose if they want to take medicines or not. Now, this is the essence of the dissent against fluoride. This is what it's all about. But beyond that, there are many, many questions and problems about what the dangers of fluoride are, the potential toxicity. It is poisonous, unlike vitamin C. You know, you can have as much vitamin C as you want. You can just drink gallons and gallons of it, and there are no adverse effects. Not so with fluoride. It is a poisonous substance and needs to be very, very carefully restricted and limited to no more than one part in a million in the water supply, and it's easy to make mistakes. But even at that level, is it safe? Well, there are so many studies that show that it's not. Hopefully, we'll get into some of that with our guest, who is coming on in the second segment of today's show, and he is from an organization called Fluoride Australia. And he is going to be talking to us about all of these really, really important aspects of the fluoride debate, but particularly the issues that are dominant now in the news. So before we get into that discussion and interview, I actually would like to bring you a short clip from a radio personality here in Australia called Dr. Carl. Now, Dr. Carl is a one of these celebrity scientists who is very popular in the media, very popular on the ABC. And he often speaks on issues that are that have public concerns. And what I tend to find with Dr. Carl is he acts as a spokesperson for the government. But as a objective scientist, he makes it look as if this is all completely factual and above board, and I'm just here as a scientist with a white lab coat on telling you the truth. And I thought it would be interesting to actually play a little clip here from Dr. Carl recently on ABC Radio. And this is responding to someone who called in with a fluoride question. I haven't even had a chance to listen to this myself, so I'm hearing it for the first time as well.
Let's take some calls. Ron of Bridgman Downs, you have a question for Dr. Carl. Good morning, Ron.
Yes, Dr. Carl, can you explain the difference to me between the sodium fluoride that is being pushed by the aluminium industry and calcium fluoride that's found in the artesian water?
Well, one's a mixture of calcium. When it goes into water, it dissolves, and you've got sodium ions and fluoride ions, and the other one is the calcium ions and the fluoride ions, so there's no real difference. If you ignore the, except calcium does have problems with heart disease, and they're now saying do not take calcium tablets because it increases your chances of heart disease, and with salt, limit your salt intake. So there's not a huge difference. Go on, tell me more.
No, I just, it strikes me that the people west in Queensland, they do get mottled teeth from using bore water, but sodium fluoride apparently is a poison, or is it?
Oh, everything's a poison in too high doses. For example, people have been told to look out for being dehydrated when they run in a marathon and have drunk so much water that it killed them. Drinking too much water can kill you. Eating too many olives or cheese or pick something healthy, cereal can or fruit can kill you. Too much of any, all drugs are poisons, what matters is the dose. So you have to juggle the dose, and that's where the human intelligence comes in. So if you're getting fluorosis or mottling of the teeth, the dose is too high, but potentially not damaging to any other parts of the body, only giving the unsightly mottling of the teeth. But the teeth are very strong, but they're not very pretty, but they're very strong. And if you have too much, of course it can kill you. Too much of anything can kill you. Sure, I agree.
Follow go up, on. Ron, you have a quick question before I let you go?
No, I'm right.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, well, that was just a quick snippet there from Dr. Carl perpetuating some of the typically heard views about fluoride. Interesting that he says everything's a poison. Well, not everything's a poison, Carl. There are poisons and there are substances which are not poison. To call water a poison is ridiculous, and that is a complete stretch of the meaning of the word. More importantly, I think in the interview there with Dr. Carl, he acknowledges that it is a drug. It's a dosage. And again, this is the really key point here about fluoride, is that we are putting a drug, a medicine you may call it, into the water supply. And indeed, most drugs are dangerous. Many of them are poisonous. And that's why we don't mass medicate. That's why we use doctors. We use the discretion of a doctor to determine whether a person needs a medicine or not. This idea of mass medication is hiding under a cloak, right? What it is it's a collectivist meme. It's a greater good remodeling of society where everyone is forced into one behavioral stream, and anyone who gets injured by that is just collateral damage that is something that we put up with for the greater good. This is the collectivist meme. The collectivist meme only cares about the so-called majority. And the minority, it might be as much as 20% or 40%, is regarded as being unimportant. It's a completely abusive, completely abominable philosophy which expresses itself in water fluoridation and many other things, such as carbon taxes. Anyway, we're about to go to break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. I will be back after the break with my guest talking about fluoridation in Queensland, and it's going to be a really interesting 45 minutes. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free.
Like they want us to be afraid, man. Or maybe we just like being afraid. Maybe we just so used to it at this point that it's just a part of us, part of our culture. Security alert on orange. It's been on orange since 01, G. I mean, what's up, man? Can a brother get yellow, man? Just for like 2 months or something? Goddamn. Sick of that. Mic check. The groove is thick, so I'ma rhyme like a lunatic. I do this shit with an unassuming wit. The corporation conjured up the bass and the tempo. My name is Lyft, that's the intro, now let's go. The flow of life, throwing strife into the mix, to the pick.
Hi, welcome back, you're with Truth News Radio. It's great to be with you today. Well, today's show is all about fluoride. I've been going through some stories here about the wave of dissent against fluoride in Queensland. It's really quite incredible what's happening. But what's also even more incredible is the mind control propaganda machine of organizations such as the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, which are seeking to portray this as an aberrant phenomenon, and using all of the tactics of their information war propaganda techniques to make the average person think that this is not a genuine, important subject, that simply there is some weird thing going on where people are just being stupid and don't know what's good for them. That is literally the way the ABC has put together this story, which I'm actually going to play for you, which is on their website at ABC. If you actually Google 7:30 report, you'll be able to see that. The program is called 7:30 Report, and it's aired every night. It's sort of a current affairs show, which comes on at about 7:30 p.m. Around the country here in Australia every night. So what I'll do is I'll start playing that for you, and I will have my guest on very shortly. We're just actually trying to connect at the moment, having a little bit of trouble there, but I'm going to start playing the audio for you of that interview, and then our guest will hopefully be on very shortly after that.
For most Australians, fluoride in drinking water means one thing: better teeth. But for many Queenslanders, the fluoridation of the water supply is something to be feared. Under pressure from anti-fluoride groups, the mandatory fluoridation introduced by the former Labor government is being rolled back by local councils one by one, much to the dismay of health authorities. Matt Wordsworth reports.
It's Monday night in Charters Towers in North Queensland, and Marilyn Haynes has flown in from Brisbane to address the local council.
I look forward to listening to all views this evening.
She's an anti-fluoride lobbyist and has travelled about 1,400 kilometres to convince the councillors to dump water fluoridation.
And it says, use is a Schedule 6 poison, uses as an insecticide, particularly for roaches and ants, you know, blah, 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 steel degassing agent, electroplating, fluoridation of drinking water. So you can use it either for killing insects or for fluoridation of drinking water.
The debate may be decades old for the rest of the country, but Queensland has long resisted fluoride, and opposition is growing.
Please take it out. It's killing her and the rest of us.
It's a toxic byproduct that costs manufacturers a lot of money to dispose of. So instead, you want to have it in our water for us to drink it.
In a matter of weeks, 9 councils around Queensland have abandoned the public health measure. From Australia's 14th largest city, Cairns, in the far north, to the northwestern centre of Cloncurry, and south to the Wide Bay. Together, they represent almost 500,000 people. The battleground is now on Brisbane's doorstep.
Thank you, and the Lord's Prayer.
Alan Sutherland is the mayor of Moreton Bay Regional Council, a commuter and retiree community of almost 400,000 people on Brisbane's northern outskirts.
Well, I think it's fair to say most councillors would be in favour of taking fluoride out of the water supply if the opportunity arose and if it could be done cost effectively.
Councillor James Houghton believes it's mass medication without consent with potentially harmful effects, and is pushing the no case ahead of a vote expected next month.
Okay, I'm just going to pause it there. Our guest, Jed, from Fluoride Australia, is now on the line. Jed, welcome to Truth News g'day. Radio.
Yeah, g'day, Howard. How are you on?
It is great to have you aboard, mate. Really good to have you aboard. Now, of course, your organisation, you've started your own website and group a few years ago. We had you on the show a couple of years ago. You've been doing fantastic work. Jed, I've just been playing a little clip here from ABC 7:30 report. I'd like to actually just keep playing it and then bring you back in and just to get your comments on it. We've aired about 5 minutes of it so far. I'll just keep playing it. Is that okay with you? And then I'll get you to comment at the end of that. Thanks very much.
Okay, sure.
Okay, here we go.
I'm not wrong. Galileo was proven right, even though they said he was wrong. Columbus was proven right. when others said he was wrong. When I was younger, they used to spray us with DDT, spray us. That's been proven wrong. So science is makes themselves, provided there's proper research done, they will come up and prove previous reports wrong. So I've adopted an old adage that when in doubt, anyway, leave out. When in doubt, leave out.
Until 2008, Townsville was the only place in Queensland with fluoridated water. Then Premier Anna Bligh changed all that, announcing a mandatory rollout that would take until the end of 2012. But after Campbell Newman came to power, he abandoned the mandatory rollout and gave the decision to local councils. Bundaberg was the first to drop fluoride.
There's a lot of people, anti-fluoride people, that sent me emails and talked to me about the health issues, and it makes one wonder and concern why it comes out of aluminium smelters, chimneys in China, and they don't put it in their water, and they export it to us to put it in our water. I don't believe that there's something wrong there somewhere, and we shouldn't have to force people to drink water with fluoride in it.
Now it's a fight being waged town by town, council by council.
So thank you very much for the invitation to speak.
Queensland Health has dispatched senior dentist Dr. Michael Foley to argue that fluoride is an effective public health measure.
The science is very much on one side of the argument. There are no reputable health authorities anywhere in the world that oppose water fluoridation.
Just going to pause it there. Jed, again, very warm welcome to the show. Jed, what do you think about that statement that he just made, that there are no reputable authorities that disagree with fluoridation?
Yeah, well, they must think that 95% of the world isn't reputable because 95% of the world don't fluoridate. So, I mean, it's a pretty bold statement.
It is indeed, isn't it? But what about the claim that there is no one with, I guess, scientific credibility, like, you know, proper scientists, people with academic qualifications? That's what I would assume from what he says. And yet I've seen quite a few documentaries on YouTube that have got doctors and scientists and all kinds of very qualified people saying the complete opposite of what he said.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, even Nobel Prize winners have been coming out and saying, and they're very credible people, and they're just dismissed as, like he was saying before, like a group or an individual, no body they're talking about. So
absolutely.
I mean, obviously, what I think you almost need to be corrupt to reach this top of the thing. These Nobel Prize winners aren't reaching the top of the, you know, for the ADA. The Dental Association, like, I mean, they're the bodies that are...
Indeed,
yeah, that's
indeed.
I'll tell you what,
I'll just keep playing the video, Chris, a couple more minutes to go, and then we'll continue talking. It's an interesting, it's unusual that we get on mainstream television coverage of this depth, even though I consider this to be totally propagandistic, it's still very much worth watching. So I'm just going to continue playing it.
There are certainly individuals and sometimes smart individuals, and there are certainly single-issue groups. But the health groups around the world and the science groups around the world are strongly on the side of fluoridation.
A study in the 1990s which compared children in fluoridated Townsville to non-fluoridated Brisbane found about 60% fewer dental caries or incidents of tooth decay in the Townsville children.
We have to look at the big picture and we say, in the long term, this will save us money, save us an absolute truckload of money, and it will make us healthier. It's a no-brainer. Fluoride is a winner. People in other states look at, not just dental people, but people who come up from other states look at us and they just shake their heads and they say, what, you don't have fluoride in the water? Or haven't you always had fluoride in the water? Well, no, we haven't.
Some councils are thankful for being given the power to decide. Others feel public health is not their jurisdiction, and it should be the responsibility of Queensland's Health Minister, Lawrence Springborg.
We understand people want to make different decisions to central government agencies and not be dictated to, and we respect that as well. We just
leave it there. We're just going to break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia, and we're talking about fluoridation in Australia and the dissent against it with my guest Jed from Fluoride Australia. Stay with us. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back, you with Truth News Radio Australia, beaming out to you from Sydney, Australia on the 28th of February 2013. Welcome wherever you may be. It is great to be able to have this global conversation, and I do welcome you to visit our website if you have a chance at truthnews.com.au. And if you would like to call in, we are broadcasting live today. So I do encourage you to call in. If you're in Australia and you're listening to us on the live stream, you can call us on 1-300-153-372. That's if you're in Australia, and that's a local call cost anywhere in Australia. 1-300-153-372. If you're in the United States, you can call us on 512-646-1984. And I always love to hear from anyone in the US who's got an interest in what we're talking about, or indeed if you want to have a yarn about anything in particular, you're more than welcome to call in. In the second hour, I have another guest coming on to talk about some matters of corruption and discrimination among the Australian police and government. The man, Luke McKee, reporting to us from Vietnam, where he's, as he says, he's in exile, unwilling to come back to Australia because of various forms of persecution he has suffered under our government and our ridiculous laws and nanny state laws and interferences in people's basic freedom and rights, which I often talk about on this show. It's there's just simply no end to the ways in which people's rights are infringed in this country, but most of us just put up with it. Some people, when they come up against it, and if you're unlucky enough, again, if you're in that minority, as I was saying earlier, with the collectivist meme, it's like if you're in the minority that gets targeted, it's just too bad. You know, you're just going to have a really bad time, and you know what, you're probably better off leaving. But for a lot of people, it doesn't affect them directly. They're okay with it. And all the little laws, all the little annoying intrusions into people's basic freedoms are accepted. And I call fluoridation of water, well, more than an annoying intrusion. It's a gross invasion of people's privacy and rights to have the most important natural resource in the country contaminated by an industrial waste. And that is indeed what fluoride is. Now, I'd like to just continue and finish off the clip here from the ABC, and then we'll return to our discussion. So please stay with us. I'm just going to continue with the broadcast from the ABC.
Asked them to have a debate on all the information. If upon that they feel they're uncomfortable to proceed with fluoridation, we do respect that.
Even if it's to their own detriment?
Well, that's a very subjective thing. I mean, people have different views with
regards to... Well, it's not subjective according to your own department. You've got Dr. Michael Foley out there saying it's an important public health...
No, but what I'm saying is that, you know, some people have a different and a very, very heartfelt view with regards to this. We would just say to them that we encourage you to look at the positive benefits that can come from the fluoridation of water supplies.
OK, so this is what we do. We have a reverse osmosis filter. This is the reverse osmosis part on top of these carbon filters down here.
So this strips the fluoride from the water?
Yep.
At home in Brisbane, Marilyn Haynes refuses to accept the assurances of major medical groups.
People interstate, where water fluoridation's been going on for 40 years, are going to look to Queensland and think, what's going on up there? They're going to think that you know, we're kooks.
Yeah, well, we're not the odd ones out. They're the crazy ones for fluoridating. 95% of the world doesn't fluoridate, and they have just as good a teeth or better.
If anything, the recent success with councils has made her resolve even stronger.
We've been campaigning for 6 years now, and spent 6 years already. I'm happy to spend another six.
Okay, that's the end of the ABC story. Interesting there, she made the comment about 95% of the world not fluoridating, but the ABC has completely ignored that. They've also completely ignored the main argument which most people use for why we shouldn't fluoridate, is that it is essentially compulsory medication. What's your take on that, Jed? I mean, the way in which the key concern that we all have is that we don't want to have medicines forced on us. If we want to take a medicine, even if it's a great medicine, we want to choose. And we'd probably like to go to a doctor and maybe get a second opinion before we just swallow something. And indeed, the idea of giving a medicine in the same dose to everyone is completely against any standard medical practices. It just seems like total quackery to me. What's your take on that whole situation?
Yeah. First of all, there was a debate about whether the fluoride was a medicine or not. And there was a UK court ruling in 2009 where it was defined in the highest court that it was a medicine. So it should be treated like a medicine. That's what I say. We have a system for that, and that is, you know, we have an NHS, and we can subsidise a drug and distribute it to people who can't afford it. That's how it is, like our system, and this is bypassing all the regulation leading up to that. We have the TGA. It hasn't been approved by the TGA. And, I mean, we wouldn't be having this conversation if it did go through the normal process of our healthcare system. We wouldn't be talking about this, definitely. And with that, the way it has skipped that whole process, there's no control on the grade of fluoride as well, like the source where it comes from.
Yeah.
Who regulates that? You know, there's no overlooking body that will, you know, regulate the control of this. And like you said before, dosage is very important. Doctors write out a script. They'll say, if you've got a cold, they'll give you, you know, 200 milligrams, take that three times a day.
Yeah.
And, you know, how do you do that for fluoride? You go for a jog, you drink, you know, 2 litres of water during the day, you have a beer at night, and your beer will be fluoridated, and you don't even know. So you could be overdosing, you know, there's no margin in that safety.
Absolutely. In fact, the question about beer is something I think is quite important. Are you aware of the degree to which our beer in Australia is fluoridated? Is there any way we can know for sure if some beer is or isn't? And would it be at a similar level to the fluoride we get out of drinking water? Do you know any facts on that?
Yeah, no.
It's hard to, I imagine it's probably hard to find. Yeah. You
know, it's crazy. We can't even really discuss how much you're actually taking in because, you know, it's not regulated to put it on a label.
Yeah.
So you won't see label on a beer. And what's the source? So when they make beer, when they're mixing it, it may be diluted water, so you've got a higher concentration of fluoride.
Right.
So you can only imagine that they're using tap water and you know, they're not using a reverse osmosis system.
Because that would be expensive, and a brewery isn't going to bother paying for a reverse osmosis system to strip the fluoride out. Why would they?
Exactly. There's no guarantee. They can't. Yeah, and even the beer companies, they don't want to, you know, this topic, they won't engage in a topic because they'll probably, if they engage in a topic like this, they'll either go, they'll get customers on one side and customers on the other. Like, they'll lose half their customers. They're going to lose that anyway. Like, we've put a little post there, a little article that where people contribute that have actually contacted, you know, different breweries and found out their source of water. And it doesn't necessarily guarantee it, but people have stopped drinking certain beers, mainly based on their fluoride content. So, I mean, inevitably, they're going to lose clients.
Well, I don't know about you, Jeb, but I've reached the point where I basically... sorry to interrupt. I'm just saying I've reached the point where I basically prefer to drink beers from overseas, like Corona or Thailand, because I'm pretty sure they don't put fluoride in their water in those countries. Although I don't know what other problems there might be, but I'm pretty sure that in Thailand they don't put fluoride in their water. I prefer to know that I'm not getting fluoridated when I drink beer. Yeah. But look, it's that bad. I mean, it has reached that point where I will not drink beer from Australia because I don't trust it. We're going to break. You with Truth News Radio Australia. We'll be right back after the break to continue our discussion about fluoride and why we don't think we should be forcibly medicated. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. It's great to be with you today. I've got Jed on the line from Fluoride Australia, an organisation started by one man, but certainly with many, many supporters, and there are many alternate groups as well, trying to draw people's awareness to simple facts that, for example, that fluoride is a form of medication. It's a type of drug. It's a medicine. Drugs should not be forced on people. You should be able to choose when you take a drug, and you should take it in the correct dose. Not to follow those procedures is unscientific and bad medical practice. It's malpractice from a medical point of view. Now, of course, those who promote fluoride use, who are generally connected to the government, and, of course, don't forget there's a lot of money changing hands here as well. As I read to you earlier in the show, an average of $3 million just for a small number of councils. I think it was about five council regions. It was going to cost them $3 million to get the system running. Now, you multiply that around the country, and then over time as well, it's a big industry. It's a big money spinner. People are making money out of it in government, outside government, in corporations. Now, those people who are the promoters and the apologists for this often cite the amazing record that we've had with fluoridation of how it has stopped tooth decay or reduced tooth decay. And however, when you actually look at the facts, and I've done quite a bit of research on this myself, and I've discovered some fascinating articles from New Zealand that were actually written by a government health spokesperson. I just don't have the names to hand, but I will bring those up hopefully in another show. But his research was absolutely damning, and it showed that, in fact, the fluoridated areas, because New Zealand moved through phases of fluoridation of different areas, he was able to show that the fluoridated areas had worse tooth decay than the unfluoridated areas. He was actually able to prove this. He was working for the government. And he was touring at conferences, supposedly talking about the benefits of fluoridation, and he was looking at his own data, looking at his own studies, and found that it was completely opposite to what he was to the promotional talking points that he was expected to give. And he eventually started questioning it and raising those issues and became a whistleblower and was kicked out of the organisation, the New South Wales Health Department. But he's written his own essays on it, and he's a retired man, but it was just an incredible window into something that that a lot of people don't understand, is that this is the opposite of the way it's often portrayed. And, of course, in Tasmania, there have been studies that have been done, and Tasmania has been fluoridated for, I believe, 45 years, and Tasmania has double the average tooth decay rate. Can you follow up on that at all, Jed?
Sure. That was back in 2009. Medicare funded vouchers to Tasmania to help with their dental crisis. And it ranged right through young and old, and as in like children, you know, mid-20s to 30s. And they funded $5 million to hand out these vouchers. And the statistics were just double the national average.
Wow.
And that's absurd. After fluoridating for 45 years, you can't double the national average. Queensland hasn't hasn't been fluoridated at that time, through that. They've only recently done. So, I mean, I expect that to be pulling down the national average. We've got ministers saying that Queensland has the worst teeth. If we had the worst teeth, wouldn't Tasmania be able to, competing with the national average as well? But anyway, what's happened recently is yesterday it was published that a further $12 million is needed to fund. So they've still got a dental crisis on their hands, and it's right. Just becoming more and more evident. Tasmania's been fluoridated for the longest in the whole of Australia. It was like that was the place to start experimenting, and it's been an experiment ever since.
Indeed. But of course, anyone who's got an understanding of health and nutrition generally knows that the health of your teeth is an indicator of your general health. The idea that tooth decay just comes from a very simplistic interaction of a germ basically going into your mouth and making a problem, infecting the tooth or causing gum disease, it's just ridiculously oversimplified. And teeth particularly are a sign of people's health. If you've got good, strong teeth, it means you're in reasonably good health. If you've got bad teeth, it means that you've got health issues. I mean, where do you stand on that? I mean, to me, that's pretty obvious. And I think it is for most people as well.
Yes. Yeah, so, I think dental health is very important. But when it comes to fluoride, I think that it's a band-aid fix. You really got to look at why people are getting decay.
Yeah.
You got to, dentists know why. You get told not to eat so many lards when you're a kid.
Yeah.
To brush your teeth. I mean, that's really where it sources from. It comes from diet. If you're constantly drinking acidic-type drinks, so being acidic is under a pH of 4,
right.
I wouldn't recommend it, and that covers mostly, say, coffee, tea, even the sports drinks, definitely Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
It covers a lot of things, and beer and wine all fall under that. And if you're constantly, pulling your pH down and your mouth is always acidic, it's definitely going to be a problem. And I think that's got a great deal to do with it, beyond just brushing your teeth all the time.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, it does encourage bacteria and that to go in the mouth. I'm not a dentist, I'm a web guy, and it doesn't take much to work this out.
Well, indeed. I mean, part of this problem is this handing over all of our common sense and power to make decisions to so-called experts. I mean, this is part of a broader problem in the modern world, is that we've developed this habit of dumbing ourselves down and not granting ourselves the ability to solve our own problems. But, guess what? That really works into the agendas of people who want to have power and make a lot of money and actually oppress most of society. So it is a socio-political agenda. You can't really distinguish them, can you? It's a scientific question, but which is fused with a political question. And to me, it's very similar to questions about climate change.
It's cherry-picking the conversation.
Indeed.
You can't draw into the discussion. And for those people that go and take the initiative to better themselves or to find, the truth, the people that are listening to this program would be a great example of that. They're going beyond what they've been told. It's growing, definitely growing, which is great. And I think that's where we're at with fluoride.
Yeah.
We've come to a point where it's a tipping point and... nine councillors have removed fluoride.
And which area are you in, Jed? Are you in one of the councils that has removed it?
Oh, I'm missing out. It's Sunshine Coast, and it hasn't been reviewed yet. We've amalgamated. There's three councils that amalgamated here.
Okay.
A couple of years ago. Anyway, they haven't reviewed it. Fluoride yet, and I think there hasn't been any say. They have published a couple of articles, mainly monitoring how other councils react and their decision.
Okay,
but I think this will snowball in other councils across, Queensland.
Absolutely. So you're on the Sunshine Coast, is that right? And the councils that have now rejected fluoride, I know Cairns did, I saw the Fraser Island did, there's nine of them. Which areas do they mainly occupy in Queensland?
It's kind of scattered. You find that ABC report had a great map on there for people to get the demographics on where it's been taken out.
Okay.
Cairns is probably the biggest there, yeah.
So Cairns would be the biggest population centre that's actually had it removed.
Yeah. We're facing, I think, Rocky is up next to review it. It's been a progression. Everyone hasn't done it at once. But I think that obviously Moreton Bay have stood up earlier on and voiced that they didn't want it. Now, I believe that it really comes back to Brisbane, and Ipswich is connected to Brisbane's water supply. So Brisbane's water supply, I think it comes out of Somerset Dam, and the pipe that runs in through that, you know, it's fluoridated from the source and then distributed to the other councils. So other councils are sort of forced in a way because they don't have an independent water supply to fluoridate. So I'd like to see Brisbane do a survey on the people since Anna Bligh came in, because a lot of things have changed in 4 years, and that's people's awareness of what fluoride is. And I'd really like to see a vote, a public vote, or some indication of what people's opinion is, whether they do want it or not, you know.
Yeah.
And an honest, you know, give people consent, giving people an honest consent. Stop talking about teeth. There's other effects on the body. There's IQ tests, etc. You know, there's a lot more to look at than just talking about. And the ethics come into that as well.
Absolutely.
Meaning, you know, it's wrong to medicate people through a water supply.
Now, an interesting point, Jed, is that some of these changes seem to have been flowed through from an organisation called the Local Government Association of Queensland. And I've got the executive director of this organisation quoted here as saying, we are not anti-fluoride and we don't subscribe to the view that there's any harm based on the scientific studies, but we basically are saying that we think that people should simply make the decision themselves. It's not for the council or the government to decide if you should be fluoridated. And that seems to me an incredibly common sense position to take, and it's one that's impossible to argue against. We are just at the end of the hour, Jed. Just a quick 10-second wrap-up.
Just to follow through what you said, the health minister saying exactly the opposite. It should be this, you know, why they're condemning the state government, they should have the control to tell us what to do. But it's up to the individual choice.
Indeed. We'll have to leave it there. It's been great talking to you. Good luck. I do hope that eventually Sunshine Coast gets exempted. With Truth News Radio Australia, it's the end of the hour. We'll be back. See you, Jed. It's been great having you on.
Okay.